Days go by and still I hear about Schmidt. Days when I could be sick of talking about it. Days go by and still I hear about Schmidt. Yeah, days go by and I wish RMNB would stop it. Yeah.
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point podcast. And just a friendly little jab there at the Schmidt fans. I think everybody knows by now what happened with the expansion draft. A lot to go over, obviously, but all right, don't anybody get their hockey shorts in a wad, all right? You know, loosen your garter, okay? Loosen your hockey socks. Just a little fun here. Look, I miss Nate Schmidt too. And it really messes up the Caps' plans for this coming year. I get that. But a lot worse could have happened. So obviously a lot to talk about. Not only the expansion draft, but the entry draft, the NHL draft, as well. And, what moves General Manager Brian McClellan are going to have to make going forward is going to be the focus of what we're talking about here. All other big news, obviously TJ Oshie. Going to talk about a lot here. Going to try and cover it in a short amount of time because went a little overboard last week, unfortunately. So I don't want to take up too much of your time. So we'll get through this as quickly as we can. Now, of course, everybody knew what was involved in the expansion draft. The decision was made to protect who all was protected. They went with the 7-3-1. Top three defensemen that were protected were Niskanen, Carlson, and Orlov. And those three, obviously, are part of the long-term plans going forward. So said the GM in his end-of-year announcement that we went over last week. He also mentioned that Schmidt was part of those long-term plans as well due to his largely improved play, mostly in the playoffs. But due to the damn dirty Vegas and the revised expansion rules, which in the past, the other member clubs, instead of throwing them a lifeline, they threw them an anchor. Well, not so this go-around. The league made every provision legally possible to help create the newest club into something of a more competitive entity. Loosely translated, unless you could wheel and deal with one GM, you're screwed. And as much as I am not personally on, never have been, and probably never will be, the Schmidt bandwagon, I can honestly say that my opinion of the matter is that, yes, the Caps got robbed because the consensus was that the Vegas team was going to pick Philip Grubauer. That is the pick that made the most logical sense. Obviously, George McPhee has no idea what logic is and went with Schmidt. Again, not the biggest Schmidt fan, but I don't think he could resist. And this was pointed out by a guest commentator at the Puck Podcast, the most recent episode of the Puck Podcast. Highly recommend you check it out. Mike DeKalb, who was serving as a correspondent for the Vegas team. And he pointed out that a lot of the picks, a lot of the defensemen that George McPhee picked were defensemen who are on expiring contracts, or close to that anyway. And that seemed to be the hot commodity. And that was a very astute observation, I think, allowing George McPhee to do some wheeling and dealing. Because these are the kind of, especially this coming trade deadline, Now, that kind of commodity, you know, basically you're trading a rental for whatever you can get, and you come out ahead because you're giving up a player that could potentially walk for nothing anyway. So say what you want about G squared, M squared. He made a lot of good moves. He made a lot of made some questionable ones. I'm not going to go into that, but he made a lot of good moves on expansion draft day. Now, before we get into the bulk of the show, I would like for you folks, if you could, to indulge me, you on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, whatever your device you are partaking in this show, O ye few but faithful. And I have another unqualified, unpaid sponsor. Actually, it's not true. I'm being paid in product, which this damn good product, if I do say so. It is Jeffrey's Burgers. Proprietor is my man, Mr. Jeffrey Thomas. And he will serve you up a darn good burger, if I do say so again. No, he is not related to that Mr. Thomas of certain burger chain's fame. But for all I know, maybe he got his burger knowledge, his burger genius, by osmosis through the man. Who knows? But in any case, what he's got to offer you is grade A, 100%. Fresh, not frozen, of course. Angus beef patties. Cooked to your specification, whatever your idea of perfection is, whether it's bleeding from the heart, burnt to a crisp, or anywhere within range in between. He will make it the way you say it. Spiced to perfection as well. He has dozens of blends of spices at his disposal. You ask him what he's got, he'll tell you. He'll throw it on whatever you like, however you like it. And toppings galore. You want it, you want the reddest, ripest tomato. You want it crying so hard because it's having funions with onions. He can do that too. So once again, that's Jeffrey's Burgers. If you're interested, you want to place an order, contact me. I am his personal agent. Contact me by way of email. That's GLHALLOWED. Once again, GLHALLOWED at yahoo.com. You are interested in placing an order and experiencing a Jeffrey's Burger. 100% grade A Angus patties. He uses nothing else, nothing but the best. So if you want a good burger, get a hold of my man G. He'll hook you up. And let me tell you something. Angus Burgers, without G involved, is not something you want to partake in, I guarantee it. You will walk away satisfied more than the cat that broke into the fishmonger. Of that I am sure. Okay, thanks for indulging me. So, on with the show. Alright, well, let's get the sad fest out of the way. Yes, I'm being slightly sarcastic when I say that because, again, not part of the Schmidt gravy train. Look, I love Schmidt the man. Let's clear something up here. I love Schmidt the man. He exhibited the most ideal attitude as far as being a human being, much less a hockey player. And if there were more people in the world like Nate Schmidt, then we just might have a better world. Of that, I have no argument. My problem, if there is one, with one number 88, one former number 88, is he had something of a coming out party in the playoffs, but up until then, really hadn't proved himself. Now, I get that the Shattenkirk deal inadvertently railroaded his being able to play out a full season. And maybe it's not fair that in the back of my mind, I still have in my mind's eye his gaffe during the playoffs 2 years ago now against the Penguins. Maybe that's a little unfair, but when you look at his body of work, there's not a whole lot there that screams top four defenseman. You have to admit that. Okay. It's not, I mean, if he were on any other club, then than the President's Trophy winning club, would his numbers be anywhere near what they ended up being? Especially if he ended up playing a full 82-game season. If he were playing on an average club, would he be able to crack their top four? I wonder. And if he were to get those minutes, what would his numbers look like? That's the problem I have. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but he's still too much of an unknown for me. Let's not anoint him the next coming of Rod Langway or even John Carlson before he plays a full 82-game season. Yeah, he looked great during the playoffs. I'll admit that. But, I mean, all this boo-hooing over a guy that hadn't really proved himself yet. For all we know, he could regress. I don't think he will. I think he'll continue to improve. But I think he's a lot like Dmitry Orlov. He needs at least one more year of bottom 6 minutes. Look how far Orlov came this year. And here's the sad part. You want the onion cry. Here's the sad part. He had nowhere to go but up under the tutelage of one Mr. Reardon. Okay? We all know that Mr. Todd Reardon is a master professor when it comes to cranking out and developing quality defensemen. So that, yeah, in that lost opportunity, yes, that I admit that I would have been intrigued in seeing what he could have done under another full year of Todd Reardon's advice and guidance. And yeah, that's truly the sad part. So we'll never know unless somehow George McPhee has a relapse of the same brain aneurysm that caused him to think that Martin Erat was worth Philip Forsberg. Yet another storyline that we couldn't stop hearing about, especially during the playoffs, given how far Nashville went. Well, it took losing Schmidt to knock that out of the consciousness of that group. Well, but anyway, what's happened has happened. It is what it is, as they say. Now, the Caps have no choice but to move on. And as I was told when I broke my leg and I couldn't work anymore by the ex-wife, yeah, you're going to have to get creative in getting me my money. And so that's what GMBM is going to have to say or do to make sure that there are at least four quality defensemen that hit the ice. Because there's a lot of good young talent that's ready to come up. None of them, though, ready to fill in that fourth slot as yet. Now, along the same front, some good news, of course, as everybody has heard by now, TJ Oshie has re-upped with the Caps. So he went on to sign an 8-year, $46 million contract, average annual value, 5.75, a bit front-loaded, as we all know. My only problem is the length, as it will take him all the way up to 39 years old. And do you want to be paying a guy at 39 more than a couple million? I don't know. He's locked up, you know, barring some, you know, ill-gotten gains or unforeseen catastrophe, or a similar brain aneurysm by general manager Brian McClellan. This all but guarantees that TJ Oshie will retire a Washington Capital. And I am over the moon about that. Again, the thing I question is the term. You know, we're all wringing our hands about Brooks Orpik, but, you know, I think TJ Oshie does have a lot to contribute and will have a lot in the tank. And he will provide a lot of value. And in the end, in the long run, yes, it is worth it. I'm a little concerned about the term, but that's why we have rules in place. You know, and who knows, he may decide to retire before 39. So in the long run, not so bad. And not a ringing endorsement, I understand, but when you consider the alternative, okay? How are you going to replace his 30 goals if we would have let him walk, right? Think about it. Are they going to come from Andrei Burakovsky, as much as I like him? Are they going to come from Brett Conley, who was also just re-signed? Are they going to come from Justin Williams, who we hope will get re-signed, but we don't know, and most likely not? Are they going to come from Jay Beagle? I don't think so. So, now even if he only hits 25, still, maybe half of his 25 goals that he scores are game-winning or game-tying goals, or crucial goals. Goals he has a knack of scoring. So, again, where do you find that? Where do you replace that is the alternative. So, I think because of that, this is a good deal when you consider the big picture. And it's hard to do that. It's very hard to do that. And that's why there's the case for Brooks Orpik's contract, even though it's nowhere near as convincing because the on-ice doings that you get back from him don't anywhere near justify the return. But that's not going to be the case with one Mr. TJ Oshie. And something I recently found out about him, he is actually part of the Ojibwe tribe. And his name in Ojibwe means coming home. I didn't know that until I read an article about him. But that's little known fact. Not all of people know that. My name is Michael Caine, and it's my job to tell you, the public, what you do not know. And that's one little known fact about TJ Oshie, is that he is part of that nation, and his name translates into coming home. So it's kind of appropriate that he signed that contract, given that. So he is now home. He will retire a Capital. And I think he will also provide... Now, as he gets older, and of course his skills start to deteriorate, I think he has... It looks like to me he's got some leadership and team-based qualities as well. When he starts to get older and his skills start to fade, he looks to be a good... You know, he looks to be able to play the part of mentor and an all-around team guy. So for any new and younger guys that come up, you know, the mantra is younger, cheaper, faster. Don't know why that's the mantra. It sounds like, you know, you got 15-year-olds lining up to work at a McDonald's. I don't know. That doesn't sound all that great to me. That, when you consider all of that, this is not a bad deal. This is far from the worst deal. So I think it's a win-win in the long term for both the man and the team. So that big cloud, or one of them anyway, that was hanging over the team is now resolved. And of course the other one is continuing to be a thunderhead. How are we going to replace Schmidt? Well, now that the money issue has been resolved in part with TJ Oshie and Brett Conley re-signing, now just got to figure out what to do with Burakovsky's and Kuznetsov's contracts. The latest I'm hearing is that they will at the very least be getting the minimum qualifying offer, if not more. More to come on that. Isabel Kershudian, of course, she, the beat writer from the Post for the Caps. So I highly recommend following her on Twitter. She's on top of the situation as always. So that's going to be an interesting development. I have no doubt that they're going to re-sign Kuznetsov. I don't think they'll let Burakovsky walk either. I'd be very surprised if that happens. So I think the money situation will be okay. And so that once they figure that out, they're going to have to, as I mentioned before, try to get creative on what they can do to replace that missing element, to round out the top four. Now, I just finished listening to the What the Puck podcast, hosted by Brando Cash, and he put out something very interesting. It's either him or Coach Dan on the show or both. Now that Philip Grubauer didn't get picked, now you have an extra commodity that you didn't foresee having going forward. So maybe dangle him as trade bait for a bottom four defenseman, a middle pairing defenseman, at least a cheap middle pairing defenseman, maybe. You know, maybe there's a team out there that still needs goaltending help. You know, not in the same division, hopefully. Calgary, you know, might want to explore that. Of course, if it were Calgary, I would not want somebody like Dougie Hamilton in return because, yeah, mucho malo in the cabeza with that guy. Somebody who's not going to screw it up when he's got the puck. Somebody a lot more reliable, like a Dan Giordano or someone like that, but he might be a little too expensive. But we'll see. Now that's probably the best idea I heard was on the What the Puck podcast in proposing that, you know, you've got that extra resource in Philip Grubauer, trade to a team that needs goaltending help badly because he can provide it to fill that hole. That's just one of many ideas that are out there. I'm sure you fans listening have ideas of your own. And again, whatever you want to propose, glhallowed@yahoo.com. Homepage, blueliner77.podbean.com. And blulinr98 on Twitter. You have a rebuttal or you want to say I'm full of feathers or whatever, go right ahead. There's your forum. But those were the main issues that the team was facing and still are facing. Of course, Kuznetsov and Burkovsky have to be re-signed. And let's see, the other free agents, Alsner, this was something else Brando Cash mentioned on the What the Puck podcast. Alsner now becomes an intriguing fill-in option. The man has clearly lost a step due to whatever injury he sustained 2 years ago, but he's still a quality defenseman. And if he's willing to take something of a hometown discount, and it's been made plain that he's very uncomfortable with testing the free agent market. And that can be scary. And trust me, I know when you're facing an earth-shaking change in your job, in the way you're going to do your job. Yeah, that ain't fun. Trust me. I've been through that myself. I'm sure a lot of you out there have too. So that's not sitting well with him. Now, he may want to talk to management and say, look, you know, I'd love to stay. What can we make this happen? And unless they've actually, you know, nailed the coffin down on that one, I would be at least open to talking if I were management now that what has happened. But yeah, as of right now, that is the biggest question facing the team. How are they going to fill that final fourth slot among the top four? Because you've got some guys coming up from Hershey that are ready for bottom 6 minutes. Now, Christian Juice, recently re-signed to a 2-year contract, first year two-way, second year one-way, and of course Madison Bowie, and a couple of others whose names unfortunately escape me right now. Also, in the forward ranks, you got Nathan Walker, who I think is ready to make the jump. I definitely think they should give him an opening night sweater and have him at least play out the first 10-game set. You know, give him some NHL experience and then send him back down, call him back up as needed. I don't think Jacob Vrana is ready. He looked way too tentative on the puck. When he did play with confidence, he did show minor flashes of brilliance, but I don't quite think he's ready yet. I think he needs at least another year of seasoning. And if they do bring him up at all, it shouldn't be for very long. It should be a mix of some easy games and some tough competition. Now, I don't want to sound like I don't have an original thought of my own, but another thought that I want to comment on that I heard at the What the Puck podcast is the possibility that if the Caps get off to a bad start, it is very likely that Coach Barry Trotz could be let go as soon as Black Friday or the day before Thanksgiving, before the Thanksgiving break. And I don't have any argument that says that that cannot be. I mean, this is the last year of his contract. So, you know, no sense if they see that they're not going in the right direction, and then they're not willing to play for him, then really no sense to stay with that. You know, no sense to stay on board that sinking ship. As much as I like Barry Trotz. So that is a very real possibility. And as I don't really think it's really his fault, but by the same token, one of his main jobs is to get this team prepared to play. And as we all saw, they were anything but during spurts within the playoffs. And that's of course where it counts. And something I'm observing more and more, this team is becoming more and more Todd Reirden's team, if you think about it. And especially with this crop of defensemen that could break through and earn some jobs. So when you throw that in there, it kind of makes sense to make the change. You know, I think Todd Reirden has been a coach in waiting for quite some time. And there was that article that said, hey, he's been locked up by the team. He can't talk to others. There were two jobs open, but he was prevented from other teams talking to him. So that kind of lends credence to the argument that he is most likely the next in line for the job, and they will not hesitate to make the move when it becomes appropriate. But you never know. A lot of stranger things have happened. There was the year Bruce Boudreau's last year. They started 7-0, and then by mid-November, they were tanking, so they had no choice. So that's one other thing to look at on the horizon. A lot of questions in the short and long term are going to be answered this year. We may have had the two-year window, but this season may turn out to be a lot more interesting. It may turn out to be the beginning of a turning point for the Caps' fortune. So you know, that's one reason to be somewhat optimistic, I think. Now, I don't want to completely revert back to, you know, my Mr. Sunshine persona, because I do have some doubts about this team, but there is some good to look forward to. There's a lot of young talent that's going to get their chance. TJ Oshie's staying in town. A lot of good that can come of this year, but it's going to depend on how it all translates on the ice. And as I say, you got to play the games. All right. So enough about that. It's just all going to shake out. We're all, of course, headed for July the 1st, beloved Canada Day. So we'll know more by then. So next week's show, if there is a next week's show, I don't know. I may hold off for another week, depending on what's going on. Of course, next Tuesday is going to be a holiday. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Can't make any promises. Got a lot of family coming in and out, got a lot of stuff I got to take care of, so try to get a show in there for the holiday, but we'll see. No promises. Not gonna make any mention of the entry draft, the four picks in the bottom, the later rounds of the entry draft, because honestly, I didn't have a whole lot of time to study this year's draft, this year's prospects, nor did I have time to go in depth into who the Caps did pick. Some hoo-ha being made over the fact that all four players are Europeans, no North Americans chosen. A little bit of hoo-ha made of that. I don't think that's too big of a deal. I don't think the Caps had really, you know, a whole lot to say about that, because their hands were kind of tied by the lack of choices they had. So, you know, had they had a first and or second rounder, Mike Bennett might have looked a lot different as far as who they picked. They might have, they might have gone for a barreling, you know, plotting North American center or winger. But speaking of centers, that's going to have to be a priority of theirs going forward. They need to look towards the future and draft a strong playmaking center. I think should be the future, and I'm sure Brian McClellan has an eye on that. But now I would prefer, you know, not to be xenophobically biased here, but I would prefer a Canadian or an American, you know, potential first line center that can, in the mold of maybe a Joe Thornton or a Joe Sakic, maybe playmaking center with a lot of skill and a good combination of grit as well. And I think that's what they need to look towards, but that's just my two cents there. It's my two loonies, as it were. Want to make a couple of points though about the draft. Of course, first all overall pick was Nico Hischier, first Swiss player picked first overall, and so I'm sure everybody's hoping he has no holes in his game. And there was also, I heard about this from Scotty Wozlewski, he of the ever popular Face Off Hockey podcast that you can hear every week. I highly recommend that show as well. Carolina Hurricanes had a late round pick, selected a guy named Eto Brute. I kid you not. And we were going back and forth about that on Twitter. And, Scotty was saying, yeah, he's got a weak backside. And he must have played in the Italian league. But his upside is that he probably won't mind being slashed. So you history buffs, you hopefully should know what I'm talking about. Trying to think of, what I was going to cover today. That's pretty much it. I just wanted to go over the recent developments as a result of the expansion draft and the contract signings. Of course, the big stuff is going to happen with free agency in the coming week. You know, you're going to see players signing, and you know, a lot of big moves that the vegan golden horde is. What are you looking at? Why are you looking at me? I said horde. Horde. H-O-R-D-E, horde. Get your mind out of the gutter. Anyway, the vegan golden horde is making a lot of moves with their ill-gotten booty. They've already turned around, traded Mark Mathot to the Stars, for example. You know, didn't want to go too much into that, but they're doing a lot of wheeling and dealing. I can't think of anything else I wanted to go over. Development camp is around the bend, of course, for the first timers. And, just more to come. As I said, the free agent developments, we'll hear about that, early next week, I'm sure. And, again, I highly recommend the usual suspects, Isabel Kershudian, on Twitter. And of course, in the Washington Post, the beat writer, as I said, always on top of things. And, the other fan-made podcasts, Face Off Hockey Show, Scotty Waz, Brando Cash at What the Puck. There's a certain other podcast made by CSN that, because I'm still PO'd at them, I'm not going to make mention of, even though, I do like Tarik El-Bashir a lot. I think he's very astute in his coverage of not only the Caps, but hockey in general. That's the only good word I'm going to have that. Of course, Joe Beninati, congrats to him for winning his daytime Emmy for that. But that's the end of my good vibes for that motley crew. So I think we're going to stop here. A lot of good things happening, a lot of bad things happening, and I think, as I mentioned, the key element is how do they replace that last fourth defenseman? And that's going to be the key. I know General Manager McClellan said, oh, we're not going to be active in free agency beyond this. Well, okay, you can say that, but your needs dictate your choices. It's a lesson I'm relearning, and we all tend to relearn when CRAP comes tumbling into our lives. So, be all that as it may, gonna be a very interesting offseason, interesting good and bad, and also can't wait for the what's going to be an interesting, hopefully good, on the ice season. They just came out with the schedule, kind of a wacky schedule, but look to get out to some games. Definitely want to get out to the March 5 outdoor game at Army-Navy Stadium, or Navy Marine Corps Stadium, sorry, in my backyard in Annapolis, Maryland. Definitely want to get out there and see that. Hoping to find some information on that. Anybody interested, once again, glhallowed@yahoo.com. Email, website, blulinr77.podbean.com. You can also download the podcast at iTunes and listen at Mixcloud. I'm working on a deal with Stitcher Radio and other sources as well. If you have any suggestions, please contact me. And, of course, I'm always on Twitter at blulinr98, at blueliner98. So, all right, we're just going to wrap it up here. And keep the faith, guys. It's not as bad as it seems. You know, I miss Schmitty too, but you know, I think if there's a silver lining here, or a charcoal gray lining, if you saw the vegan Golden Horde uniforms, it's that Schmitty will now have his chance to play the top 4 minutes, because now with Mathot gone, he's easily top pair on that team, I think. If he doesn't get at least 25 minutes a night on that team, then Gerard Gallant is not coaching that team well. So if you're a true Schmidt fan, then you'll be happy for him in that regard. So we'll end the show on that high note. And, like I said, hopefully we'll be on next week, but if not, definitely the week after, recap all the Caps doings as far as free agency, which there may not be a whole lot. So it may just be another, sad cry roll where we lament the loss of Justin Williams, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and go from there. So with that, I say again, let's go Caps.